That tone you heard, man, it's 10 o'clock. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Hello.
Lou.
Hello, that's really nice.
How are ya?
I'm great. I'm wonderful.
Good. Me too.
What's coming up on today's show?
Well, do your children's friends still call you Mr. and Mrs. Manfredini? Or do they call you Lou? And
well, so that's a
Mary Beth.
That's a very interesting thing. As my kids are getting older, I think for the vast majority of them, they still call me Mr. Manfredini. But our son is dating a girl who's 21, whom mm-hmm. we met and have done a lot of things with. And, you know, I said, you can just call me Lou and you can call my wife Mary Beth. And she's like, oh, I don't think I can do that. Right. And so
I have a funny story about it, too.
Yeah. So I think it depends on I think that the kids that know you when you're younger. I mean, there's a certain
it's harder for them. It's
right.
like the teacher.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I have a can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
I went to a funeral for a friend's mother years ago who was when she was living in a neighborhood. One of the kids that ran around with them was a child, you know, and would say, I'm going to say her name was Mrs. O'Malley. And that one of the young men became a priest. And this woman became a secretary years later, worked at a church. And lo and behold, this priest becomes the pastor of that church and comes in and says, oh, my gosh, Mrs. O'Malley, you know, it's so nice to see you. And it's been so many years and this and that. And she says, Father, you can call me Kathy. And he says, yes, ma'am, Mrs. O'Malley.
Yeah, exactly.
He was not going there.
Exactly. Just like she's calling him Father Johnson rather than Billy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right, have yourself a good one, Lou.
You too. Bye-bye.
Morning, little Judy. It's going to be 58 here today.
I heard that.
How
That's
about,
lovely for you
How
guys.
About you there in Arizona?
83.
Oh, okay. Smack down. Smack down. Thought we might have you on that one. I have two topics. One is a quick little short one that's not going to require, you know, requisite half hour. And the other one is the requisite half hour. I was driving down a highway in the last couple days. And you know how most semis now have sort of this little apartment behind the driver. It's a little sleeping compartment,
mm-hmm.
so they don't have to stay at a crummy motel. They just climb in the back of their truck and sleep in there. And I would say those things are usually about 4 feet wide. It adds about 4 feet to the cab of the truck. I saw one the other day that looked like it was a studio apartment. I saw one that was easily 10 feet. And I think it had two windows in it as opposed to the one. And as we know from our conversations about plucker truckers and we have many girlfriends who are over the road truck drivers. What is, are there now compartments behind the driver's compartment that are significantly larger than just big enough for a mattress to sleep on?
Did you notice, well, do you want them to call in?
Well, yeah, 312-981-7200. That's one. Yes. Did I notice what?
Well, did I forget this?
Yeah, you probably did. When you think of it, tell me. Welcome,
yes,
welcome to my world.
Did you notice what product was on the side of it?
To me that it was an unnamed truck.
It was like a transport.
Right,
truck
and I was just driving past it fast enough, but long enough to go, what the? That seems really large for a truck. So 312-981-7200, a call or a text would be great. And the second one was a headline that I saw in the last week, and it was about family dining etiquette. I know nowadays it's much rarer than it used to be for families to sit down together for dinner. But I just wonder if you are a family who sits down for dinner, besides saying no smartphones, when we sit down for dinner together, nobody's going to have their smartphone. I would think that would be like a given. What's the point of sitting down together for a meal if you're not going to be talking to each other.
I bet there are families that all have their phones out.
Maybe. But I'm just interested in if you do have family meals together or if you remember family meals together. I remember every dinner together, and I don't remember any rules. I don't remember ever being told, get your elbows off the table.
Oh, I was.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or
fold your napkin.
Okay, well, that's what I mean. What was and what is family dining etiquette then and now? 312-981-7200. This is our girlfriend, Trucker Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hi, how's it going, Kathy?
All right, thanks. Now, you're an over-the-road driver.
I used to be, yes.
Okay, you had a little compartment behind the driver's cab to sleep in.
Well, when I started out, yes, one of the first over the road that I drove on was you had just enough room to put your sleeping bag down and a pillow, and your partner would, you'd swap out. In other words, you'd take your bedding and
switch, yeah.
Wrap it up and throw it in the side box, and he'd put his in, and he'd go to sleep for 6 hours or 8 hours.
Oh, is that routine, Bob? Is that for
yeah,
to have two?
Well, on a team, yes. Yeah, because you never stop.
Oh,
and
how
that was the theory behind it.
Oh, so interesting.
Today?
So, okay, now, then the condos came out, and they were a little, well, we call them condos because they were oversized in the way of bedding. You had room to turn around, and because they were taller, you could put bunk beds in there. Literally, it was a bunk bed. The top one flipped up.
So you could both
was stationary.
Okay.
And you had storage underneath the bottom one, so that you could put your bedding and leave it there, or if you had a partner, the two of you could, okay, I'll take the top or you take the top, whatever you prefer, and that's the way it is. And there's a safety strap to keep you from falling out in case something happens.
But then the truck is stopped. I mean, that seems less energy
productive.
Efficient.
What do you mean it stopped?
Well, I mean, you can't both sleep at the same time when the truck is on the road.
You can when you get to your destination.
Okay, you pull into the rest stop and you can both crash.
If you have to.
Right. But have you seen these trucks with the really large? The one that I saw was easily an additional, I want to say, 8 feet, maybe 10.
And that had the full living room and quarters.
It's like a tiny house.
There are some that are even larger than that. They're longer than that, Kathy. And if you, I can't tell you where to go online, but I've seen them online. I've seen pictures of ones that were, well, they call them extended, it's an extended.
Well, it certainly was. The one that I saw certainly was.
Exactly.
All right, so you're retired, Bob?
Semi-retired. I'm still working. I'm 70, and I'm still driving.
Wow. Long-haul stuff or short trips?
Regional.
That okay.
Like Indiana, Wisconsin,
okay.
Michigan.
All right. How's your health? Because over-the-road truck drivers don't usually have the greatest health. That's not a good question to ask a 70-year-old.
No,
we're off at noon.
I'm in great shape.
Okay,
because,
good.
I don't eat the garbage that's out there.
Okay.
I stay away from the garbage. I stay. The only reason I use a rest stop is to use the facilities, basically.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad you're listening, Bob. Thank you.
Oh yeah, I have been. I have been ever since you folks, since you girls came on.
Bless your heart. That's 25 years ago.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this was my wife and I were living in an apartment at the time, and we were scrambling and going through a lot of things.
So
and,
were we.
Well, stay exactly.
Those early shows?
It became part of our lives.
Stay safe out there, Bob. Thank you.
Definitely.
That question reminds me, and I may have mentioned this before, Judy's husband, Tom, says when he goes to a party, particularly if it's people of a certain age, the best way to get to know somebody, even somebody that you don't know already, is to just walk up to them and go, hey, what did the doctor say?
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
talking about family dining etiquette. For some, it used to be a big issue. Judy, you said that in your family...
No elbows on the table.
No elbows on the table.
And fold your napkins so we can use it tomorrow night, because we had cloth napkins and napkin holders.
Wow.
And eat your plate, eat your dinner. There are people starving in China.
Okay. So, and I would guess no, really no dessert if you haven't had dinner.
No, there was no dessert served anyway because they were always on diets.
Ah, okay. Kristen, you're kind of smiling. What was your fam?
My
producer, Kristen Decker,
was very, very into how we held our silverware.
Oh my God!
Oh,
so
geez.
And we always had. We're a beef family. My dad's
of
a cattle buyer.
You're farmers,
so,
right?
We always had like hamburgers or steaks, and like I gripped my fork, like stuck my fork right in the steak,
mm-hmm.
and gripped it like a fist.
Mm-hmm.
And then would like saw with
right.
the knife. Oh, I
no.
remember getting in yelling fights. He's like, "You're not holding your fork right." And
yikes!
That was his like one little quirk he had.
Okay.
Everything else was fine, but it was just, "You're not holding it right. You look like a hooligan."
How do you do it now, Kristen?
I think I probably still do it the same way I wanted to do it.
312-981-7200 on the text line. And of course, I just lost it. We have family dinner every night and no cell phones are allowed. I would guess that's a pretty standard one. Hey, Joan.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
What were your...
on vacation last week and a very nice restaurant. And there was a family of four. The kids were probably 8 and 10, both of whom had their own iPads watching a different movie.
Oh,
the parents were on their cell phones.
Wow. How nice to spend time together.
Exactly. They didn't talk at all. We sat there probably, they were there about 45 minutes with us. I don't even think they talked when the food came.
Did everybody in the restaurant kind of give them the old eye roll? Like you are
no,
a pathetic entity?
We were giving them of that. And I'm telling this story to my son, who's 35, and he's in a position of hiring people. And he said that's a good new business. Socialization of families, because he gets people, these kids that are in their 20s, to interview, and they don't even make eye contact, he says.
During an interview?
During the interview. He says they cannot hold up a conversation.
Now, they don't look at their phones during an interview, do they? Has it come to that?
No, they do not do that, but he said they just can't talk to anybody.
Wow. Okay. Well, Joan, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
And this from 312 on the text line, we sit down most nights with our two kids to dinner, no smartphones, sometimes some simple reminders on dining etiquette. Having dinner together is a huge priority for us. It's nice to hear about everyone's day, et cetera. Hey, Steve.
What's
your take on dining etiquette?
Well, I was born and raised in the South. I don't have much of a Southern accent because I grew up in a tourist community and I have a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in Chicago now for 20 years. And
okay,
well, anyway, I was raised with a very strict dining etiquette. Not as strict as your partner there just
My
said with
the
napkins.
My name's Judy Markey. Hi.
Judy. Hi, Judy. I'm not new to GN, but I'm new to your show and I like it so far.
Great.
It sounds great. And so it was very, I remember my mother always scolding me on, you know, you cut your meat and you have your fork in your left hand. And I would just take my left hand to my mouth and eat it. And she said, no, don't do that. You have to change hands and then eat with your right hand. Well, anyway, it was very strict. Now, as far as going to a restaurant, I think that the same rules should apply with a little bit of leeway. My biggest gripe is with young children, okay?
Do you have any?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But, I had two little sisters that I helped raise, and I know what it's all about. And as far as children, I don't think children really should go out to a fine dining establishment unless if they're old enough to understand the simple word no. And to be able to obey that, because kids screaming, pardon me?
I'm with you. You'll remember my name forever if I say that, but I am with you.
Judy, yeah. If they're not old enough to understand no and to be able to obey that simple word, no, they shouldn't be in a fine dining establishment. They should be eating at home.
Okay, so you're not counting Burger King or Chili's as fine dining.
No, bring your infants to Burger King, you know?
Right, right.
I'm talking about...
Steve, I have a question unrelated to fine dining.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you said you don't have a Southern accent because you lived in a tourist community. If you had an accent, if you did have an accent from where you originated, how would it sound?
It would sound right about like this.
So you can still do it.
Oh, yeah, because I can blend in, because if you drive 20 miles east off of the coast, then you run into the Redneck Brothers. And I'm very close with the Redneck Brothers because they're all conservative and they abide by the rules of society. Don't cheat and don't steal and don't lie. And if
and don't marry your cousin?
Exactly.
There you go.
What's the tourist place?
Yeah, like, what's
was
the
it Disney World or something?
No, it's just the Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sugar White Sand Beaches.
Okay. You've done very well assimilating, Steve.
Okay.
We're so glad you found us and that you're listening.
Yeah, I like your show. Both of you are very upbeat and positive, and that's what I like in life. I like positive people. Let me add one thing to
Cars,
okay? I used to have an anger problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I meditated many times on this. I am a Christian, man.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured out that anger is just self-torture, because out of 10 people, 8 of those people don't care that you're angry, and the other 2 are glad that you are. So you being angry doesn't affect anybody but
except
yourself.
You. Right.
You
right.
Have to look within, and then you can release your anger. And let me tell you, it's like a cement truck coming off your chest when you come to this realization.
Steve,
amen,
you're the
brother.
Best. We love your call. Thank you.
On many topics.
Thank you.
Have yourself a fine day.
Fine day.
I had me a whoop hollering day now.
There you go. Bye, honey.
Bye, dear.
Some nice mellow music.
And I don't know that this will be a mellow conversation.
Mellow topic.
As I'm listening to the news, and even the first time I heard that President Obama and Michelle went yesterday to the viewing of Antonin Scalia,
mm-hmm.
visitation, but not to the funeral, I was really disappointed in his choice. I don't know why he's not going to the funeral. I think he opens himself up to a lot of criticism. And I think in a country like ours, even if it's somebody whose views you oppose, you have to respect this man's intelligence and his tenacity at sticking to his principles. And I really think he should have shown up. Now, I don't know if there's some big do going on today that precludes it, but that was never included in any news reports that I was exposed to about why he wasn't going.
I have seen that he didn't want to draw attention away from the family and Justice Scalia and draw attention to himself because he was there. That's all I heard.
Funerals and the attention hasn't been on him. I mean, I don't know how much that holds up. I mean, I'm a huge fan of his. Kathy, you have such a smile on your face.
I don't give a riff.
You don't?
No, I do not.
Well, it's not affecting my life.
Right,
but it's
or
something
mine.
that I'd like to have our listeners call at 312-981-7200 or text us at the same number. If you had any kind of reaction hearing that, I can't be the only person. I'm reactive, but I'm so surprised at that decision. And believe me, I'm sure it was widely deliberated in the White House before it was made. I don't think anything is too spontaneous. And I would think that a lot of people would go tisk tisk. And a lot of people might say, I'm predicting what you guys might say. And I'm predicting that, you know, some people would say, well, why would he go? He wasn't an enemy. I mean, I don't know.
All right, this is Christine. Hey, Christine.
I read a report recently. I believe it was in the Washington Post. It was decided that Vice President Biden and his wife would go.
I know.
Because President Obama's security detail at this current point in time is too restrictive and doesn't allow certain people in. And so in consideration of the family and the people they wanted to attend, they elected to have Vice President Biden go as opposed to the president. So the environment was less restrictive to the other people who wanted to attend the services.
Okay, and that's basically what I heard as well. Christine, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay, 312-981-7200. You can call us or you can text us. And Kristen Decker, producer extraordinaire Kristen Decker, it puts up some of the texts on our live blog at WGNradio.com. You can go there, go under shows, and under our show, you can see some of the texts that are coming in, like calls. We can't get to all of them, but there's a lot of good reasons. This is Joanne, who agrees 100% with Judy.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I agree with you 100% about Obama not attending the funeral. I think it's a slap in the face to a man that has served our country.
Now, are you an Obama fan?
No.
Oh, well. So it does get into your litany of bad things about Obama.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I'm not a fan because I don't like his wife.
Why don't you like Michelle Obama?
I just don't like her. She's too cutesy, and the dress that she wore to the viewing was absolutely too cutesy for the.
What was it? What'd she wear to the view?
She wore a black full skirt, and it was a darling dress, don't get me wrong, but not for a funeral.
A black long skirt is inappropriate for a funeral?
No, a black short skirt.
Oh, I thought you said a black long skirt.
Was for the viewing. I thought you meant the TV show, The View.
No, I meant for the, what do they call it, the wake or whatever.
The visitation,
right.
So it was a short skirt. Were her beautiful arms covered?
Yes, her beautiful arms were covered. The dress was darling, but not appropriate for the wake.
Oh.
Okay.
So that's why you don't like her. Did you like her up
to... No, I don't like her at all anyway, because I just don't like her.
But you have to have a reason. What's bad about her? Or is it just that she picked him to marry?
She doesn't.
Oh no! I just don't like her attitude and many things about her. I just don't care for, and I don't want to say on the air.
Why?
Why
are they inappropriate?
It's not because she's African American, I presume.
No, it's not. It's just I don't care for her attitude.
What's her attitude?
Oh God! I'm just trying to agree with you on something.
There's a lost cause.
It seems to me that she thinks she's holier than thou and that she's Jackie Kennedy, and a Jackie Kennedy she will never be.
Because how will she never be Jackie Kennedy?
Well, no one could ever be Jackie Kennedy. I think she was a class act.
Okay. All right.
That's so funny. I think Michelle is so classy.
Yeah, I do too.
So classy. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for agreeing.
She's got great
with me.
Arms too.
Fabulous arms. Yeah. Joanne, we're glad you were listening. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
This is Ron.
I like the part where she said, "Oh God, I'm trying to agree with you."
I know.
You're making it impossible.
Big mistake.
Do I do that in real life?
Hey, Ron.
Yeah. I think it's I won't say disgusting, but it's I think it's out of place that you are discussing who's attending the funeral rather than the fact that the man was a great man and he accomplished many things.
I said that.
You should be. I'm talking about now. You're it sounds to me like you're almost inviting people to call in with the other. Well, I won't say the other side even, but the darker side. Why didn't the president attend? And blah blah blah. I'm sure they talked it out. I'm sure they came to good decisions. And I think people should trust our president a little bit more instead of making every little tiny little thing an issue.
Well, you know what? This is talk radio, though. I mean, we're interested. I mean, talk radio is a place where you want to extract the opinions of many people, and it's not about. I mean, he's being eulogized. I'm sure beautifully, and deservedly so.
I didn't
agree with him
today. I think today that you're trying to I won't say bait, but I think you're trying to invite people to criticize the president. That's what it sounds like to me, rather than and it doesn't have to be a eulogy, but you could have picked a different subject today.
Ron, there's 100 different subjects that, you know, we only have time to do four.
I know, but this one is inappropriate for your show. I really like your show.
Thanks a lot.
I like you ladies, but I think you've chosen the wrong.
Okay, and if you listen, you know we are way liberal. We are big Obama supporters,
and all over the man.
Right? Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Wait, one more comment.
Sure.
The fact that you even stated that we are way liberal, I don't think it matters. That's my point. It doesn't matter whether you're liberal or conservative, or whether you're black, white, or anything else. The only thing that matters today is that a great man is lying in rest. And you should show more respect, as everyone else should, for the man, as you stated earlier, his intelligence, and get the politics out of this.
Okay. All right, Ron, we appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right.
312-981-7200.
He didn't even really argue with him that
312-981-7200. Call us or text us, and you can't see all the calls, but you can see a lot of the texts because producer Decker is putting them up on the WGN.com page from time to time.
This is funeral music now. Now we're really in trouble.
Okay.
We're so in trouble.
312-981-7200. Judy, would you like to restate the topic?
Yeah, I'm not going to change it. I'm saying that I was troubled that the president is not in attendance at Antonin Scalia's funeral. I think it reads as if he isn't respecting him to me. And which opens him up for criticism. And I think, you know, the man was brilliant and felt otherwise than President Obama's policies. But so what? And I just think he opens himself up to criticism from people like me.
All right. Let's hear what Dennis has to say.
And I don't buy the security thing.
Hey, Dennis.
By the way.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
Yes. He should not go.
Why?
Well, no part of this should be about President Obama. Whenever he shows up, as I think one of your early callers said, it's a question of his entourage of security people. Even in the media, there are going to be cameras on him instead of on other people or the family or Scalia. And those are the people that should be recognized, should be honored today, not the president.
Do you know, He's gone to other funerals. The other thing is, they can slip him and his entourage into the back four rows of the service.
Oh, Judy, you can't be serious that they would slip the president into the back four rows of the cathedral.
Why?
Oh, come on.
That wouldn't happen for sure. No president's going to get snuck in the back door. Then he'll be accused by the media of coming in the back way. It is a no-win-win.
It's the front door sitting in the back and go to sit in the back. And I just don't think so. So Joe Biden comes and there isn't almost an equal amount. I mean, it's like this guy's life is really worth, you know, protecting. But Joe Biden.
Yeah, Joe Biden's going to have less media attention for sure.
Okay.
And I like the fact that it's now for the family and for those who respect what Scalia did for this country. The president has already played his part, done his thing. It's quite acceptable. And this was a good topic this morning, by the way. Good choice.
Sometimes do you not like our topics? Like, what was the worst topic we've had lately that sort of you didn't like?
Oh, boy.
You know, so many to choose from.
And as I
go down to my workshop on Saturday mornings, and I listen to Lou and you, and there aren't any bad ones, really. It's good entertainment for me. So.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call.
And
as we said to, I think it was caller Ron, on any given day, there are 200 topics we could address. We have 2 hours a week. And Judy and I, as you can see, split it up. We do half an hour with Judy, half an hour with my topic. So we can't talk about every topic you want. In fact, I remember one time we did that. We asked listeners to call in and tell us what topics they thought we should address.
And we hated it.
And some of them were nothing but hilarious. All right, two sides to every story. This is Tricia on Michelle Obama's dress.
Hi,
Tricia.
Maybe you got an opportunity to look at the dress while you had commercials.
I tried, but I could not find it.
Okay, now this is just from my memory, and God knows that's not as good as I'd like it to be. But to me, it was a short dress in that it was above her knees. It was not what I would consider a short dress. I believe she had definitely had black stockings on, which I thought were tight. It was completely and utterly appropriate for a funeral.
I just found it now. There was nothing inappropriate about it.
Let's post it on our page.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I just have to say, it really drives me insane that people, you know, for instance, don't like Michelle Obama because, like, or they don't like him because his wife wore a dress that she doesn't like to a funeral. I mean, come on.
I see no jewelry. I see nothing but a very plain black dress.
And she had on, like, mid-high heels, I noticed, because she's pretty much taller than him when she wears heels that high.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me nowadays, like, for instance, and not that I'm one to defend Donald Trump, but someone said to me the other day, oh, I can't stand Donald Trump. I hate his lips. I'm thinking, mother of God, of all the things that are wrong with
that's about number 77.
I could go on and on. Let's not talk about someone's lips or someone's height or, you know, in these debates with Trump.
Or was, you say, know, I just don't. You know, why don't you like Donald Trump? And if somebody said, well, I just don't.
Right.
I mean, you've got to have some reasons.
Yeah. You don't like his lips. I mean, come on. This is, you know, or I don't like Christie because he's fat or, you know, whatever. It goes on and on.
All right.
I just feel like seventh grade is over. And we should have a little bit more behind our likes and dislikes.
Oh, be quiet, Tricia. You're a loser.
I know. I'm a loser. I was thinking about that today. I have grandchildren, and I thought, could you imagine? It seems to me that Trump is the exact opposite of anything that you would want your grandchildren looking up to. Some man who goes around calling other people losers because they get caught, you know, that they're prisoners of war. I mean, it's just pretty unbelievable to me what's going on right now.
All right. Thanks, Tricia.
Have a nice day, girl.
All right.
Bye, Tricia.
And Pete would like to make a point. Hey, Pete.
Hi. Is there any surprise that he's not going to Justice Scalia's funeral? I mean, the man blew off Margaret Thatcher's funeral as well. He simply has absolutely no respect for anybody who's conservative. And
this is how I think it would be interpreted, just the way you're saying.
Well, it's not a matter of interpretation. It's now a proven fact.
No, this is not a fact. The fact that he's not there is a fact. The why of
it. The fact that he wasn't at Margaret Thatcher's funeral is also a fact. It's disgraceful, and it's disrespectful.
Who's your candidate, Pete?
What's that?
Who's your candidate? Who'd make a better president than Obama?
Anybody.
Okay, don't be facetious. Are you going to play straight or not? Do you have a candidate?
I am. Every day I wake up and I change between Cruz and Trump.
Okay.
Everybody else is weak sauce, and I truly, honest to God, haven't made up my mind.
And yet you listen to us.
I listen to everybody. That doesn't mean I agree with everybody.
Okay.
There's no wrong with listening.
Do we make you a little crazy? Please say we make you a little crazy.
It actually makes me a lot crazy at times. You should see me driving down the road yelling at NPR.
Okay. Well, they're as liberal as we are.
Let me argue with the way I look when I'm driving down the road yelling at the radio.
Okay.
You ladies.
Pete, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
I'm Veronica Carter on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. God bless you, please, Mrs.
Robinson. Hey, Veronica, as your kids were growing up, mm-hmm. did their friends call you Mrs. Carter, or did they call you Veronica?
They all tried to, and I said, no, call me Veronica, because it just doesn't feel right.
Starting at what age?
Probably when they got closer to being teenagers is when I kind of insisted. And it's hard for them because they go to school and they have to call their teachers, who are usually, you know, female and around the same age as you know, your kids, your friends' moms.
Right.
They have to call them by Mrs. So it's still a couple of my son's friends will, you know, call me Mrs. And I even joke and I say, hey, I'm not even a Mrs., so stop it.
All right, well, that's the topic. And we just wondered, I saw a story this week that basically said children do not call their friends' parents Mr. and Mrs. anymore. They tend to go with their first names. And in fact, Hannah Stanley, having heard that promo, texted me and she said, our own kids sometimes call us mom and dad, and sometimes, she said, they call us, was it Hannah and Rick or whatever her husband's name is, that her own kids.
That would be odd.
Sometimes call them by their first name. So,
and in Tom's house, I mean, I was in the house too, but I wasn't mom. I was always Judy. But in Tom's house, I would say by the junior year, Zach and Kate would start to go, hey, TC. His Tom Collinger.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's stuck. Kate does dad. Zach does TC now.
Right. And my dear friend Ann Frost, her kids and my kids are the same ages. They grew up together. And Tom and Carrie still call me Mrs. O. And I've said many times, call me Kathy. Oh, no, Mrs. O, we can't. No, we just can't. So 312-981-7200 from 630 text, I never called those in my parents' age group by their first name. I think it was out of respect. Steve from Oak Brook. Another from 815, it's your friendly neighborhood FedEx driver here. All my friends and I are 30 ever since we were 12 or 13. They have called my parents mom and dad. And still do
That's
to this day.
Sweet.
Yeah, that is sweet. Confusing, perhaps, but whatever. 312-981-7200. Do your kids call their friends' parents, still call them Mr. and Mrs., or do they call them by their first names? Just had this situation. My 36-year-old daughter got married 3 weeks ago. Some of her high school friends I have not seen for many years, they addressed me as Mrs. I told them, come on, call me Judy. So this is Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Kathy?
Yes?
Hi.
Hi.
Did you want to tell us
something on your mind?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I wanted to tell you that, yes, that growing up, I always, if I was introduced to anybody, and as a child, everybody was Mr. and Mrs. And to this day, some of my friends, I'm 57, and some of my friends' parents, I still call them Mr. and Mrs. I cannot call them by their first name. But if I was introduced to them for the first time as their, you know, their first name, Bobby or Sue or whatever, I would say, hello, Bobby or Sue. But it just feels funny to me. I can't call them. They're Mr. and Mrs. Griffith to me. I can't call them Bobby and Ed. So it's like that's the way it goes.
They're still Mr. and Mrs. Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. Now, do you have grandchildren yet?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you know if they call their friends' parents Mr. and Mrs., or if there's a little less formality these days?
I don't know about their friends, but I know all their teachers are Mr. and Mrs. And
right.
I think maybe some of the neighbors are, or it's Mr. Joe down the street. You know, maybe Mr. with his first name. That's how they, you know, as a respectful thing, instead of just, hi, Joe, it's, hello, Mr. Joe.
Right.
You know, if you've Fred. Ever been, Kathy, to a Kathy's, to a high school reunion, and
mm-hmm. oh,
say
sure,
you're 45
the teachers
or 50,
are right.
You can no more call somebody Arlene you know, even though you know that's her name, you have to call her Mrs.
Johnson,
Agrest,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It just doesn't feel right because you grew up, that was how I was taught. That was how we were. Yeah, even though I'm old and I'm a grandparent, but I'm still, I cannot do it. I have to call them Mr. or Mrs.
Interesting. Yep. Interesting. Yeah. Thank you, Kath.
You're very welcome, Kathy and Judy.
Actually, in that vein, a fun text came in from Area 815. I went to Rolling Meadows High School, where, parenthetically, I worked for several years in the 70s and early 80s. I went to Rolling Meadows High School and was a student worker in counseling, where I worked. I would still call you Mrs. O'Malley and the other woman that worked with you, Mrs. Jimenez. Even after listening to you for years, I still remember you as Mrs. O'Malley.
So the show is now the Mrs. O'Malley and
Judy
show.
Kathy and Judy back. Mrs. Markey and Hart. Actually, you're not Mrs. Collinger.
No, I'm not.
You were Miss Lindheim. Judy Lindheim and Kathy Fruin. We're just talking about whether or not you address your friend's parents by their first names now that you're no longer a kid. Or if you're the parent, are you a little stunned when a 27-year-old goes, "Hey, Karen, how's it going?" And this is Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, when I was growing up, I was always to refer them always by Mr. and Mrs. But what I've noticed that my kids' friends, their parents, most of the women insist on them calling them by their first name. Well, those women are the ones that I've noticed that just want to be their kids' best friends, and they're the worst kids possible. They give their kids everything, and it's like they're complete delinquents.
Well, not to paint it with too broad a
brush.
Yeah.
So that would be the cutoff. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be the cutoff for you. Brian, thanks for the call.
Sure.
All right. This is Mark. Hey, Mark. Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
Okay.
Good. My daughter's 18, and her entire group of kids that she hangs out with refer to their parents, and I don't get called dad unless my daughter needs something. I'm Mark to her. So
forever? Since she was little or only in the last couple teenage years?
It probably picked up when she started into high school freshman year. And, you know, I coached soccer for a long time. So I was all a bunch of kids. I was like Coach Mark. So, so that kind of a vowel from that. So I think she might have picked up on that because other kids.
How did you feel?
Do you remember the first time
it happened?
It didn't bother me one bit.
Okay.
It didn't bother me one bit.
All right.
My wife's a teacher in the school that she goes to, and all of her kids come in the classroom and go, "Hi, Lisa," you know, and that's about it. So
wow. Okay.
No big deal.
And sort of the inverse of this is the fact that when I talk about my dad, even if it's like a funny story, I always call him Daddy. I've never called him Dad, and my girlfriend's called him Johnny, but I just call him Daddy. It's very infantile, but that's his name to me.
All right. All right. Thank you, Mark.
I could go back in therapy.
Thank you, ladies.
Okay. This is Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. How are you, girls?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good.
What's up?
I have an interesting story. One of my mother's dearest friends, who is now divorced from her husband, and, you know, it was an amicable divorce, but she's remarried and he's remarried, and I still call her Mrs. Oh. You. She's still Mrs. You to me forever and ever.
Even though she's not married to Mr. You.
Yeah, and I don't know that she could ever be referred to as anything different. She signs cards to me as Mrs. You, and she's Mrs. You. And Judy, you know Mrs. You.
I do.
You do. It's Barbara. You know Barbara.
Uh huh.
In your retirement group, I'm Linda's daughter. You know.
Uh huh. Hi.
You're Linda Yu's daughter?
No.
Linda. No. Linda.
I'm so confused.
I do.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So So she's Mrs. Yu to me. And then the other story is that I have a teacher that was my high school English teacher, my most favorite teacher. And she has become a very close friend of mine. And as an adult, she said to me, "You can't call me Mrs. Schwartz anymore. I'm not that much older than you."
My name is Mrs. Johnson.
Right. No, but she will not let me call her Mrs. Schwartz anymore.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing about our teachers, which is right. They seem so grown up, and they could have been as much as 8 years older than us, you know, than
right.
we were.
Or even right. less.
She had just graduated from college when she was teaching me high school.
Right.
And so I mean, now I'm used to it after so many years of calling her by her first name, but it was very awkward for me when she said, "You can't call me Mrs. Schwartz."
There you go.
I'm your contemporary. So there you go, right?
All right. Thank you,
Debbie.
Thanks, Deb. This
All
is.
Right. Have a great day, lady.
Thank you.
Okay,
it looks like a beautiful one. This is Libby. Hi, Libby.
Hi.
Hi. What's your story?
My story is that I'm 19 and I call both of my parents by their first name. Not my fault, though, I will say that.
Forever? As a child, you always did?
I mean, I started when I was about, 12 or 13 years old. My parents don't respond when I say mom or dad, especially in a crowd.
Okay.
So if I want to get their attention, I have to actually use their first name.
Do you think that's because they don't want to appear to be that much older than you?
You know, I don't think so. They respond to my sister. I do have an older sister, and they respond when she says mom and dad. But I think my voice is a little deeper than hers. Maybe it's the intonation.
Have you ever asked them why?
There. No, I have not.
Think put that on the menu.
It would be an interesting conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, on the other side of this conversation as well, I will say I'm a university student, and most of my professors don't want us to call them professor. They ask you to call them by their first name, which I find very hard, very difficult. Yeah.
They call my husband by his first name. They never say
Professor
Collinger. Title is this
right.
week. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting, Libby.
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
No, I'm 19.
Oh, okay. That's probably a good choice.
Yeah, I'm still 19 right now, so.
Okay. Do you think you'll have kids someday?
Older. Oh, definitely.
Do you want them to call you mom? Do you want them to call you mom, or do you want them to call you Libby?
Mom, definitely.
Okay.
I'll just have to work on responding to it. So.
Okay. Since you don't have a model to follow.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Libby.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good
Bye-bye.
Day.
Bye-bye. This reminds me of Paula's call reminds me of a cartoon. I think it's from Family Guy or something. Paula?
Yes.
What's your observation here?
Hi. When I was young, I for some reason was saying mom one day a lot, and my mother said to me, "Mom dropped dead," and I thought, oh, my God, how could she say that? You know, I was like, oh, God. Fast forward, I have a 10-year-old. He was 10 or 11, and he was a talker, and he'd get mad because I wouldn't listen to him some of the times. And one time he mommed me, and I said, "Mom dropped dead." I couldn't believe I said
it. Oh, my gosh.
From that point on, he called me Paula. Well, fast forward, I remarried. My first husband had passed away. I remarried, and when we were going together, my husband goes, "That's very disrespectful that he calls you Paula." And I said, "Let me fill you in on the story." And then he just, and to this day, I'm Paula.
There's I think it was from Family Guy. The mom's taking a rest, and the kid comes to the bedside and goes, "Mom, mom, 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 mom." And finally she says, "What?" And the kid goes, "Hi." And if you ever wanted to punch a kid, that would be it.
I mean, we'd be driving in the car, and he'd be chattering, and then he'd stop, and he'd go, "Well, what do you say?" And I'd say, "He goes, you weren't listening to me. You weren't listening to me." And like I say, this one day it got to me, and I couldn't believe those words.
Wow.
Mom.
Or, you know, you see it at a swimming pool.
Yes.
When the mom, look, mom. So you can understand how it would be easy to respond to somebody else's kid. Paula, thanks for the call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye. And finally, this is Ms. Ruth. Yes, Ruth.
Hi,
or Ms. Ruth.
Ms. Ruth.
Yes.
You know, I had such an incredible joy as a child, starting between 7 years old, calling acquaintances, neighbors, Mr. or Mrs. My mother, Dolorosa, said that I was never born a child. I was born an adult. Through the years, I found that you gain an amount of authority with your children's friends. I'll juxtaposition a police officer. They feel more secure, and they feel that that sense of authority means they have something in stressful times. They feel that your directions, your commands, your answers are so accurate because they gain this authority. I also found that in the South, or whether in a nursing home, a homeless shelter, a church, the majority of African-American people refer to me as Miss Ruth. I heard that more often. And I always was impressed, who were their parents that they got that kind of protocol and politeness? I say that chivalry still lives.
Okay. Ruth, you're okay. A traditionalist then.
I'm conservative and an old soul.
Okay. How old are you?
Oh, well, in this life, I'm 68, going on 68, you know?
And wait a minute, what were you in other lives?
Oh, well, other ages, obviously. But anyway.
How many other lives do you think you've had?
I remember about 3 or 4. It's probable that I had more than that. Most of the time when you get the blessing, which, by the way, calling someone Mr. or Mrs., it's almost like the gift of the Magi. It's not only a blessing for you to do it, but it's a blessing for the person who's receiving it.
Okay.
Did you die a painful death in any of your other lives?
I have not had any memories for any traumatic experiences.
Were you always like a princess or something? Or were you ever...
You know, I often hear people, one time I had a cousin, and I'm not going to say who she was, but she said, you people always are someone famous. And I said, that's not my fault. I'm not responsible for whether or not I was a scullery maid, which in one life I was a scullery maid, in the Washington home in Mount Vernon. I remember that. Oh. And I got into my high school senior trip. I paid for my own trip, my prom. I had 3 jobs while I was in high school in the 60s, and I paid for my tuition for 2 years.
What was your best former life? What was the coolest thing you ever
were? Queen Nefertiti?
I prefer not to identify that one. I dance around with it. There's very few people whom I say that I was in my very previous life, the one before this one. There are some people that I will give that information to, but most of the time, because it involves a soulmate, I prefer to keep it under wraps to a certain extent.
Is it somebody we'd recognize?
Extremely. I will say this.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
No, it wasn't Eleanor
Roosevelt. Jude, what's your guess?
It's further back.
I did go to that Miss Goddard's performance of Eleanor Roosevelt. Oh, what an outstanding lady she was.
Okay.
But, I'm going to say that I traveled in a covered wagon across the country, going to the Dakotas. And
Calamity Jane!
And I also will say that the person that I was most involved with, very well known, a graduate from West Point, and a history in the 1800s.
Dances with Wolves guy.
I also have 3 grandchildren who are Ogdens, and he was the first mayor of Chicago. So in this life, I have some connection to several historic people in New Orleans and also in Chicago. But the thing about the reincarnation is, remember this, many times people do have traumatic lives, and it would be too difficult for them to remember the mistakes they made, the persons they harmed, or how they were harmed. So when you are in a new life, you actually have that hope, that little sense of something is going to be better than it was before.
Okay. You're supposed Barbara, to make it better. You
we could obviously
to
talk to you for quite some time, but we're coming up on the news. So thank you for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mama.
What?
Hi.
Some of you may not recognize the music. Many of you do. It's the music from
Downton Abbey.
Right.
And tomorrow night is the finale. The final finale, not the season. It's the season, but it's the whole
ball of wax.
Yeah. And I thought, well, it'll be interesting because nothing seems to be predestined. I thought it will be interesting to hear how those of you who've been watching think it's going to end. I thought that it was going to be clearly Lord Grantham. And if you don't listen to this, I'm really sorry. But for those of us who do, this is very important. I thought he was going to die. And he may still die, but there was that precursor problem with his throwing up blood and
at the
his
table.
Oyster, and his ulcer.
At the formal dining table.
It was a pretty impressive scene. I'll
actually, one
you.
Of our girlfriends texts and says the Downton Abbey finale is March 6th. Which would indicate that tomorrow night would not be the finale.
Maybe that's why it seems so so many strings to tie up. I mean, Kristen can look that up, or somebody can look that up, because I'm prepared for a finale. I thought there were 8 episodes this year, and well, we'll have to save this topic if there's more indications. I mean, I don't think, for instance, Lady Mary can get any meaner or any colder than she is right now.
Okay.
You know what? Looks like it is March 6th because this weekend is the next to the last one. And then next Sunday...
Penultimate, as it were.
...is the Oscars. So they're going to probably do recaps.
Not going to air the night of the Oscars.
They're not going to air the big season finale.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. That's
smart. Well,
then
I think we should postpone this.
Okay.
Because tomorrow night, it'll be giving more clues because everything's sort of wide open now.
Well, because many of us, me included, know how it ends because we couldn't wait. Because we went on a website I'm not going to ruin anything for anybody who hasn't seen, who hasn't done what those of us who watch it early do. If you want to see what the end is, you can. If you don't want to wait, for many people, I posted a link many, many weeks ago.
BBC America, right?
No, it was simplyjune.org. Simply, SimplyJune.org. And I believe this is a woman in Great Britain or in the UK who posts the episodes the morning after they air in the UK. And in the UK, they air in the fall. So the morning after the first step... Pardon?
What?
What? What about Steve Bertrand? Oh, wait a minute.
Is he calling?
Hey, Steve.
Kathy, I have a new dishwasher, and it's turquoise.
Yes?
I can't figure out how to fix it.
Okay. Yes.
Well, do you want a suggestion?
I'm driving down the road listening about the end of Downton Abbey.
Yes.
And you guys had me freaked out.
You thought, I've missed an episode.
Well, I thought it ended in March.
It does.
Well, it does. And that was my misconstruing.
But this is the Kathy and Judy show.
But we're not going to talk about what we predict the end. And see, I thought, here was how I had a plan, Steve. In fact, is Steve co-hosting that day, Kathy?
No.
Not until April?
It's going to be first weekend in April that I'm gone.
Oh.
Okay.
So Steve, do you watch it live? Do you watch it live?
Yes. Yes.
You would, even if you knew how to see the remaining episodes today, you wouldn't go to that site.
You're just dying to do that again, aren't you?
I already did it. I know how it ends. I'm not going to ruin it for anybody that wants to wait. But I mean,
I like to experience it with everyone else as it happens.
I do too. But the only thing that I find hard is that when you can stream a whole series, like Netflix just did one, two of them, one's called Love and one's called Togetherness. When you can watch them back to back and binge, it's more fun than during a whole week, you can forget things. Though I can't forget how mean Mary is. Such a bitch. Horrible. Steve, don't you think she's being terrible?
I think it's really time for the show to end, frankly.
No, we got another 15 minutes. You go finish your errands. Where are you going?
I'm sitting in the parking lot of the grocery store.
Okay.
Are you cooking dinner tonight? Having people over without inviting Kathy and me?
No, I'm just buying my weekly eggs and turkey. Can I pick you guys up anything?
Sure. Give me some cilantro.
And I need some Noosa yogurt.
Say that again. What kind of yogurt, Judy?
Noosa.
Noosa. Okay, I'll get that.
All right,
okay.
Honey.
I'll give it to you when I see you next, maybe in about 6 months or so.
Okay, Steve, and what number do people call if they want to go to Vienna and Prague with you?
Oh, that's so nice of you.
I know.
847-606-6065. It's a great trip to Prague and Vienna in early July. And, you know, we just have a great time with the groups who get together. So I've had a lot of interest, but we still have room. So check it out at WGNradio.com or call me at 847-606-6065.
And people, do not drag your feet. If you want to go, just sign up and go before you change your mind.
Come on. It's worth it.
Kristen's and I bet on the church. You know so much fun there.
They are. They are very fun.
All right. Drive safely. Oh, no, you're already in the parking lot. Walk safely.
I'm about to hit a kid pushing carts, so we'll be fine.
All right. Okay. Take care, Steve. Bye.
Bye.
Kathy and Judy back. You know our number. It's 312-981-7200. I just need quickly a handful, two or three of you, who consider yourselves really intense TV viewers, that you watch TV at least daily, probably several hours a day. You know all the shows. Just if you are a big, big, big TV viewer, just give me a call at 312-981-7200. I just have a question to ask because I wouldn't say I'm a big TV viewer. And sometimes I hear these conversations about, did you see this new series that started? Oh, nope. Oh,
did you see Mozart in the Jungle?
That's another one. No, I have not seen Mozart in the Jungle.
It's
and it's got that beautiful Gael Garcia Bernal guy in it.
Oh,
but,
so cute.
Yeah, he's darling. 312-981-7200. Here we go. We've got some callers. This is, who's this? This is Carol. Hey, Carol.
Yes.
How much TV would you say you watch?
Oh, I watch TV.
A lot.
Gosh. 8 to 10 hours a day.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's
I'm home and, you know, a little homebound, so I watch a lot.
Okay. 312-981-7200. I would like to get one or two of you on the line if you, like Carol, watch TV several hours a day. I'll start with you, Carol. I just read a story the other day about the TV series that have been canceled. Okay. I have heard of not very many of them. And I just wonder if any of these canceled TV series are ones that you have watched and are sorry to lose. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Meredith Vieira.
Don't watch her.
You don't watch her. Okay.
No, I'm aware of it, but she never interested me.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get Becky on here. Do I need to do anything? I can just punch in Becky without losing Carol. All right, hold on. We're gonna get a couple more on here. Carol, I've got another one for you. Rizzoli and Isles.
I don't like the actresses. I've seen the show, but I'm not sorry to see it go.
What's it about? Are they detectives or
like a bookstore?
Yes. You know, sometimes the detectives they're a little overworked. You know, it's just too much. I shouldn't say it'll work. I should say too much of one thing.
Okay. All right. Hold on a second. I'm going to get Becky on here. Hey, Becky.
Hi.
Hi. Do you watch Meredith Vieira?
I don't.
How about Rizzoli and Isles?
I did watch it. I like it.
But you know it's canceled.
I know. That's too bad. But I can probably pick it up on the internet if I really need a fix.
It'd be worth it to you?
Not really.
But if it's canceled, okay. If it's canceled, they won't be making new episodes, right?
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes you can still see those on Hulu.
The old
or
ones.
Netflix.
Right, the old ones.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And here, we're going to get Jan in here into the conversation. Jan?
Oh, hi.
Hi. Meredith Vieira, did you watch it?
No, I did not.
Okay. Rizzoli and Isles?
Nope.
Okay. We're talking to three women who identify themselves as intense TV viewers, correct, Jan, Becky?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
Rectify. That's not a medical show.
No, never heard of it.
No.
Okay.
Don't watch it.
Low blow,
okay.
Kathy.
Good Wife.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it. I can't miss it.
Okay. You know, this is its last season.
Yeah.
I say get Chris Noth off the air.
Okay.
Oh, God. He's such a slime bag.
Mike and Molly.
Yes.
Love it. My friend owns the bar it's named after down here in Champaign.
Okay.
You know, though, she is so big in movies now.
Yeah.
That I would imagine doing a TV series.
Actually, she has said she wanted to stay.
Really?
Yeah. She has said it's not because she's got other things going on. She said she wanted
so
us to stay.
Pretty.
All right. To our heavily TV girlfriends, how about Fab Life?
No.
Not for me.
Okay. No. We're just talking about the TV shows that have been canceled, and I haven't heard of most of them. Finding Carter.
Nope. Never heard of it.
Nope.
Nope.
Same here.
Okay. Manhattan.
Nope.
Okay.
Well,
I guess we're finding
that's
out.
The Manhattan is a WGN America production.
Okay, well, not anymore.
That's a bummer.
Not anymore. It's
on
not.
That one.
And finally, Angel from Hell.
Yes.
Who's that?
Watched it once.
Who's that, Jan or Becky?
Yeah, Jan.
Jan, you liked Angel from Hell.
Yeah,
sounds
I like
a
it a lot.
Porn
really
title,
clever.
Doesn't it?
No, it's with Jane, what's her name?
Oh,
what kind of porn do you watch, Judy?
What? What porn do I watch?
Yeah, Angel from Hell sounds
like
I'm
the kind of girl who doesn't watch porn? Or
it got canceled.
Angel from Hell. So here's the list of TV shows
already?
That have just been canceled. Meredith Vieira, Rizzoli and Isles, Rectify, Good Wife, Mike and Molly, Fab Life, Finding Carter, Manhattan, Angel from Hell.
Angel from Hell has only had like 4 episodes.
Yeah. Okay, I think the only one. Actually, I've watched 2. I've watched Good Wife, and I've seen once or twice Mike and Molly, but I haven't been a big. All right, ladies, what's on the TV menu for this afternoon?
Oh gosh, I'm not watching anything this afternoon. It's too nice outside. But
okay, how
nice
about
outside.
How about same question for all of you? Do you watch Downton Abbey, Carol?
Oh yes,
Becky.
Used to.
Okay, and Jan.
Oh, yeah, we're having a finale party. You just about gave me a heart attack when you said
well.
It was...
Okay. Here's some news. Here's some news, hon. Are you sitting down?
What?
Have you made your dips yet? Because it turns out the finale, which I thought was tomorrow night,
right.
is March 6th.
Right. That's,
I know
that's
March
why
6th.
She nearly had a heart attack. Okay.
We were planning for March 6th until you just about gave me a heart attack.
All right, ladies.
I'm really sorry about that.
Enjoy your TV watching.
Okay.
Thanks for your calls.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Love you, too. Kathy and Judy and Amy Guth back. Amy's
hey,
here
Amy.
For her WGN Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hello. How are you?
All right. Are Great. You a Downton Abbey girl?
You know what? I have had that on my list, but I feel like I need to set aside time to just sit down and just watch it. I haven't gotten into it
it's
yet.
It's one of those obligation things.
I know, but it's so beautiful. And like all the, you know, all the clips I see from it, I love the beautiful costumes and all of that.
But you haven't seen season one?
No, I haven't seen any of it.
What don't you miss?
Great clothes.
What don't you miss on TV?
Oh, gosh. You know what I do? I tend to, you know, when I look up and want to just kind of put on the TV for a minute, I tend to put on shows that are easy to digest, that I can just kind of like Modern Family, just a quick in and out. I don't necessarily have to know the whole storyline. But I really like shows like true crime stories because the nerds always win with science and the bad guys always lose. And
there's a lot of women who are into crime stuff.
Yeah, because it's
right.
nice to see the bullies get what they got coming to them.
A lot of women into business, too. What are you doing today?
You know, today we're going to be talking about the iPhone and privacy. A lot of people have been talking about Apple the last
Love
few days.
Story.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about literal business lunch, places in Chicago that are the best places in town to have a business lunch.
Mm.
And we're going to be talking about the company that makes the Roomba, you know, the little cute little thing that Scoots Run does the vacuuming for us that we all put our cats on. They are also a very large supplier of the ground-based robots for the U.S. Department of Defense. And so they are looking to make some changes and not perhaps be in the war business.
What's a ground-based robot?
You know, all the kind of automated things. I mean, we have the household application of robotics for the Roomba.
Right.
But we also have some things that are like life-saving, you know, arms, things like Jaws of Life, things like
okay.
that. But also some things for, you know, just to automate our tasks, automate our... you know, our add strength to the tasks that we're doing when we need more than human strength.
I'd like a bed maker to be invented.
You know what? That exists. I've seen that before.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it was Gizmodo had a story about that, and it's a bed that is already wired. It's got a pulley thing on the sides of it. So once you get out of bed, you flip a switch, and it just sort of
pulls
up
everything
covers,
up,
and it makes it work.
Oh, for Pete's sake!
I know.
All right, all this and more on the Business Lunch with Amy Guth. Over at you, girl.
Wait! What? Thank you to Kristen Decker. Thank you to Bob Ferguson. Thank you to Valerie. And we are
who's
out of
Valerie?
Here
Veronica.
Veronica.
Her too. Her too. All right.
Chrissy
Thanks
Allen
to everybody.
Landed.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
To everybody.
All
we
right.
love everybody.